Romans chapter 12, and we're looking at one part of verse 8 this morning, but I'm going to read again verses 3 to 8. Let me just unplug that. It drains the battery for some reason. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. So here then, the apostle shows us how we are to use the gifts that God has given us to serve God and to serve his people within the context of the body of Christ, which is the church, of course. And this passage, in this passage, he gives examples of various sorts of gifts, the various sorts of gifts that the Lord has given to his people. And some of these gifts mentioned here are what we usually refer to as the ministry gifts. So if you were to turn to Ephesians 4 and verse 11, it says that Christ has given some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And the church usually refers to those as the ministry gifts, because they are ministries, as it were, that people are called to do. So it may be the case, and I hope it is, that any believer could give a word. Yeah? I trust that any of us, if we're saved, could at least tell someone, you know, a couple of verses from the Bible and tell them what it means. You must be able to if you're saved, because you know how you got saved. So in a sense, anyone can give a word, and it may be you know, if I'd fallen ill this morning or something and couldn't make it, I know, in fact, I won't say it may be, I know there's a number of guys here who could get up and give a word. But there's a difference, see, between that and being called to the ministry of, say Bible teaching or preaching as the ministry of, you see. So there's the ministry gifts in that sense. And then some are spiritual gifts, and there's a list of gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which I referred to the other week, and they are all supernatural gifts. So if God spoke to me this morning and said, go lay hands on such and such a body and pray for them to be healed, he's given me a gift of healing for that person. I'm not taking a bottle of tablets to them and saying, no, yeah, take a couple of them and you'll be all right. I'm praying in the name of Jesus, and that person would be healed. That's supernatural. Nobody's got the talent to be able to just go and lay hands on someone and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. No, that's not a talent. That's a supernatural gift. And I know there are people in the church who think, well, that doesn't happen anymore. That's all gone. You know, that was all stuff all died out at the end of the apostolic age. There's no more, you know, words of knowledge and speaking in tongues and gifts of healings and things like that. Well, I'm sorry to be disagreeable, but I've been hospitalized twice with asthma, and somebody prayed for me, and I haven't had an inhaler for over 30 years. So you don't tell me that there is no healing. God heals. Now, I'm getting off my subjects here. I mean, healing is a big subject, and it's not as straightforward as I think a lot of people would like us to believe. But nevertheless, you know, sometimes we have to be persistent in prayer, and sometimes it's wait, but God heals. Anyway, there's the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit, and then there are other functions and offices within the church of various sorts. And those that Paul refers to here in this passage, he just takes some examples of the different categories of gifts and of offices and functions that are in the church, that Jesus has put in the church, and he selects them in order to show us how we should use whatever it is the Lord has given us to serve him within the body of Christ for the benefit of the church. He's taking a selection. And what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to understand from what he says about how you use these different, we're supposed to apply it to whatever we have. And you've all got something. Trust me. You know, you have. You might not know what it is yet, but you have. And I hope, actually, by the end of this one, you'll know you've got at least something. Okay? Because you have. And so the examples he gives here in this little passage are prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, and showing mercy. As I said the other week, he kind of mixes it up a bit here to show us how we are to use our gifts. And I, for one, am glad that Paul's done this here. Of course, he's inspired by the Holy Spirit to do this. He's not just, you know, putting down whatever he thinks. He's directed by the Holy Spirit. And I'm glad because, you see, some of us maybe have a tendency to recognize certain gifts and ministries as gifts and ministries, but don't see other things as gifts at all. Okay, so prophecy is a ministry gift and a spiritual gift, and I don't think any of us would disagree with that. Ministry may include the use of spiritual gifts, and it may be a ministry gift for some people, but it isn't limited to that, as I tried to point out, I think, last week. Ministry can be also, it just means serving. So it can be all kinds of things, you see. So it isn't just limited to the ministry, as we think of that, the ministry of the word or whatever. Teaching is obviously a ministry gift, but it isn't limited to preaching from the pulpit or standing on a street corner and giving a gospel message like that. It isn't limited to that, as I tried to point out the other week. There are numerous ways of teaching, and they in the back and upstairs are doing one of those right now with the children. Okay, it's not pulpit preaching, but it's vital. And parents can do that at home and should do. So you see, there's a number of ways of teaching. Exhortation may be done in the context of preaching. I may be preaching on something. I may exhort you to a certain kind of mindset or a certain kind of behavior as I seek to apply the scriptures to our life. Exhortation, it can come as part of the message preached from the pulpit, but it can equally come from any one of us as we seek to encourage one another. Can't it? Any one of you can exhort one another to right think. It doesn't have to be preaching, see. Okay, so we've looked at some of these things, well, all of them up to that point. And this morning, I want us to think about the next item on Paul's list here of gifts. And it's that of giving. And I'll be honest with you this morning, I was going to do the final three, giving, leading, and showing mercy. But as I got into this subject of giving, it got too much to do the others as well. So I'm going to talk this morning about giving. Verse 8 of chapter 12. So what Paul is saying, take it from verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. And then go down to verse 8. He who gives with liberality. So he's talking about giving, and he's talking about that as being a gift. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought of that. You know, I'm sure you think preaching may be a gift that some people have. I'm sure you believe that prophecy and these others are gifts. But I wonder if you've ever thought of giving as a gift. Well, if you have, good, because it's on the list here. Okay, now, I hope I don't offend anybody with what I'm going to say next. Okay, but I suppose if I were one of those health, wealth and prosperity preachers, and having come to this particular statement about giving, if I was one of those preachers, I guess I would be seizing the opportunity now to encourage you all to plant your seed faith by sending me a donation, okay, and claiming your healing or whatever else it is you've set your mind on in the name of Jesus. Reminding you that the bigger your donation, the better. because, as some of those people tell their followers, they will get back 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, whatever, on whatever they give, depending on their faith, of course. So if you've got big faith and you give a dollar, then you're going to get $100 back. Or if you've got big faith and you give $100, you're going to get $1,000 back. And you see, they play on people with that kind of message. Because you see, they say that's how it works with biblical faith economics. Of course, if you give a dollar and whatever it was you were hoping for doesn't happen, well, of course, that's never the preacher's fault. And it's never the